I would like to take this opportunity to thank God for everything He has done for me. Also, for every time He has helped me in Sunday school. I don't say that lightly. I was telling Brother Caleb up here, Friday starts getting Friday, Saturday, I start getting nervous. Because, you know, I got to have something for Sunday school. And sometimes it comes easy, and sometimes it doesn't come easy. So I want to thank God for how He helps me there. And I can do nothing in myself that would benefit the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Make that clear right off the bat. Nothing in myself that I can do or say that would benefit the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me introduce myself. Some of you may look at me kind of strange because most of you all know me. I'm Brother Orr. I'm the young adult Sunday school teacher. We meet every Sunday morning in the choir room over here at 9:30. I've been known to throw pencils and hit my head on ceiling tiles. All those things by accident, of course. But I also stumble over difficult pronunciations of Bible words. I'll admit that. But we have a good time. I like class participation. So if you have never came to Sunday school, or maybe you misplaced the room, it's right over there.
Amen.
Stop in and be a part of our class studies. We are studying right now at the beginning of Acts in the early church. It's a great study. Say, well, I can read all of that. Well, a lot of times in a Sunday school setting, we get a chance to go in a little bit deeper and talk about things that maybe you hadn't really thought about. So that's a good part about Sunday school. Tonight, I know you're going to look at me kind of strange, but tonight we're going on a boat trip. I hope you all brought your life preservers. We're going on a boat trip. And I told my wife, and she's like, oh no. I was going to bring a prop, but that might not have been appropriate. Several weeks ago, my two sons and a neighbor boy and myself went kayaking before school started. I had never been in a kayak before, but we decided to take the long 15-mile trip. All right, five and a half hours later, we arrived back at our car. We had lots of fun and lots of sore muscles. Sometime later, I started to think about some of the lessons from the trip and the observations I had made and the spiritual applications of that.
Yes.
So tonight we're going to be talking about traveling, kayaking. Each one of us was in our own vessel. When you kayak, you're individual. You have an individual boat. It's like your two-person canoe, but it's an individual vessel. We all traveled on the same river. We didn't take different rivers. We were all on the same river together. Each of us tonight is on a journey.
Amen.
This journey is life. All right, we're all on the same journey.
Right.
We're all traveling on the same river. It's a river of life. We all have a starting point, and we each will have an ending point. God is the only one who knows when our journey is over and we reach the final shore of life.
Amen.
He's the only one that knows.
Amen.
The river represents life, and we are each one on this river. The saint, the sinner, all are traveling on this river. The direction we take, the path we take, determines our final destination or shore.
Amen. All right.
Title tonight is, which direction are you headed on life's stream? Which direction are you headed on life's stream? Now, as the expression goes, any dead fish can float downstream. But it takes a live one to swim upstream.
Oh, yeah.
As a young person tonight, be a live one. be a live one. You're not living until you have Christ in you, right? The hope of glory. The Christian is not a dead fish, but we are alive in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive."
Amen.
In Christ, we are made alive.
Right.
Young person, expect to go against the tide. When we start this journey as a Christian, right? We're going upstream. All right, we're a live fish, and we're swimming against the current, up the stream of life. Expect to go against the tide, the current. What's some of the things you're going to be going against? Well, popularity. Right? Popularity is a big one.
Amen.
When you're in school, just because you don't do everything else the crowd does, sometimes doesn't make you very popular.
Amen.
Peer pressure. We all experience peer pressure. I don't care how old you are. We all experience peer pressure. But a lot of times when we start out as a young person in school, it really becomes apparent to us what peer pressure is, because we're squeezed with trying to decide, okay, do I do this or I don't do that, or what do I do? Peer pressure.
Amen.
The praise of others.
Yeah.
These are things, some of the things we have to go against. The praise of others. Modernism. People look at us, right? Trying to live holy, trying to live right, they say, oh, that's old-fashioned. You need to be modern. Humanism. Humanism's a big one. Everybody wants to do what's right in their own eyes, right? Humanism. False doctrines of all kinds. We face a plethora, if you want to use that word, of false doctrines, a lot of doctrines. Liberalism, worldliness, just plain neglect, apathy, and concern of others. Those are things that we're going to expect to face.
Amen.
As we travel on this life.
Right.
We are not going the same direction as the world, as we all know. When we give our hearts to Christ in salvation, what happens? Well, for one thing, the good captain takes over our vessel.
Amen. That's right.
You know, you're canoeing, right? Or you're kayaking, I should say. My boys are going to correct me. Kayaking, you know, that's where you paddle on both sides, hopefully. Otherwise, you go in circles. But our vessel has a captain. And he's the good captain.
Amen.
He directs as we go upstream.
Yes.
He gives the commands, right? He's the one that gives the commands and tells us where to go. We're on our journey and he says, go to the right. And so we go to the right. He says, oh, go to the left. So we go to the left. He says, hold it steady, go straight. So we go straight.
Amen.
He says, watch out for that boulder ahead. Right? Watch out for that danger. The good captain. He tells us. We have to listen, right? The captain sees the hidden dangers that we cannot see. You know, when you're on a, if you've all been canoeing or been in a boat, sometimes as you're traveling, unless you're up really, really high, which boats aren't really, really high, they sit low to the water, you can't see down in the water and see the hidden dangers that lie below the surface of the water.
Amen.
And so as we're traveling on this stream of life, sometimes we can't see the dangers that just lie right ahead. But the captain, right? The good captain can see exactly what's in the water. He can see exactly what's ahead of us in our life. And he warns us.
Right. Very good.
We must listen to him and give the more earnest heed. We must listen to him. Hebrews, the second chapter, and I'll read the first four verses, says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them which heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Verse Hebrews, the second chapter, starts out, therefore. Now we know when they wrote the Bible, a lot of times when they compiled everything, they broke it up into chapters and so forth. But if you go back and read the beginning of Hebrews 1, you see what he's talking about. He's mentioning Hebrews 1 and verse 9. It says, thou hast loved righteousness and hath hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He's talking about the brethren there. And he says, therefore, you need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Of course, it's Apostle Paul that wrote Hebrews. And you know, Apostle Paul was not there when Jesus was here walking the earth. How did he hear these things? Well, the disciples that were with Christ passed those on down and told them to Paul, and Paul then repeated them.
Amen. Very true.
The world has a captain too. Right? The world has a captain. You know, and as the world travels on this journey of life, their captain says, just relax. Sit back. Enjoy the ride. You don't have to do any work. Just drift with the current of the world. Everything is fine. Right? That's exactly what he says. You're okay. Just enjoy the ride. Everything will be fine. You'll be fine. Kind of lulls everybody to sleep, right? As they're drifting. Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Amen.
Many people are on this way.
That's right.
The broad way.
Yeah.
And few are going to find real life.
Amen.
What do we see on our journey? Well, many vessels, right? Many vessels. We see lots of things as we're on our journey of life, right? We observe lots of things.
Yes.
The saint, the sinner, everybody observes. Many vessels have drifted past us going the opposite way. Some people are asleep. I mean, they're solid logs as they go right down the stream to destruction. Some are in a stupor. They're just totally confused. They don't know what's going on. Not realizing that they are headed for destruction. Because their captain has put them to sleep. You see, as we drift down life's stream, and I'm talking about the world here, there are many ways to get into trouble. Tangles of branches and debris will catch you, and sometimes you never escape the snag. Those of you who have been boating and have seen this, and maybe you've just observed a stream or so forth, as things float downstream, sometimes the debris gets caught into an eddy or a whirlpool, or gets caught into a snag of branches and so forth, and you'll see that debris just stay there, not go anywhere, become stagnant. If we're not careful, we get caught up in things that would ensnare our soul, and we might never escape. And you know, people don't intend to get caught up in the tangles of the world. They don't intend to do that. But they find themselves caught, and they can't escape. We see ones that have drifted into dead water, the backwater scum, the seemingly still water where evil creatures lurk.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know that's true.
Yes, amen.
I know we just had Halloween, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the evil people, the evil creatures and spirits and so forth out there in the world that are out there that would grab a hold of anybody unexpectedly.
Expectedly.
Ephesians 14 and 4 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We don't have to be deceived by the enemy. And as we're journeying on this river, I keep wanting to say we're going down, but we're going up as a Christian. But there's a log jam. We see log jams, right?
Yes.
What does a log jam do? I'm talking about in real life here. What does a log jam do? Well, it blocks the waterway and it creates extreme danger for anybody traveling on that river.
Yes.
Sometimes in the spring of the year, when the ice thaws and all that debris starts going down, sometimes it creates massive jams and causes flooding and all kinds of bad things happen. Sometimes the Corps of Army Engineers has to come in and take dynamite and blow it up to try to get the water moving. But as we're on this journey of life, sometimes we face log jams, extreme obstacles. Why is it dangerous? Well, if you was to drift into that log jam, what happens? Well, this is in real life. The force of the current, a lot of times, will cause the vessel to capsize, and then you're thrown in the water. And the real danger is the current continues no matter what's in its path. So many times the path of the current is under or around the log jam, and many times it's right directly underneath. And so if you've ever been fishing or swimming out there in the river or in the streams like that, you'll see log jams, and right in front of it usually is a deep, deep hole, and then underneath of there it gets very deep because the water and the current keeps going.
Amen. Very good.
This means if you capsize, all right, you hit that log jam and you capsize, this all has spiritual applications here, I hope you can see that.
Yes.
You run the risk of being sucked under the log jam, possibly not to surface again. There have been many experienced kayaker that has died trapped under the debris of a log jam. As I was going through some things tonight, I was looking up some things, and I'd run across a story about this exact thing that just happened, about a person that got too close, and they got trapped under the debris and rocks and so forth, and their bodies did not surface for several days. You know, maybe they thought they could handle the danger.
Yes.
As we journey down the river or up the river and we see dangers like this, people think, I can handle that. It's dangerous, but I can handle that. I can get around this. I can do this. I can do that. And what happens? They get sucked right in. Never to surface again. What's that mean? It means they're done. The journey's over for them. Thought maybe we can paddle out of the way real quick. But the current is too swift. Dear friends, life has these log jams, right?
Amen.
The dangers along the way. And for some, maybe it's a vice such as drugs. The party life.
Amen.
Living on the edge. It is so easy for bad things to happen when you're around those danger zones.
Amen.
You know, the warnings that the government and so forth puts out there, on rivers and streams and lakes and so forth are there for a reason. They're there for a warning for a reason, and that is danger. Just like over here at Waterworks, they got a sign that says, stay off of the dam.
Yeah.
All right, when the water is going real, real small, real low, all right, there's not a whole lot of danger there. But as we know, it wasn't very long ago that the water was up,
somebody
went over and they died. Did not heed the warning that said, stay off. Party life, right? Drugs, party life, living on the edge. These are all things that the dangers that we face along our journey.
Amen.
And as a young person, you know, all these things are going to be presented to you.
That's right.
There's no doubt in my mind the devil is going to present those to you. There's going to be opportunity for you to say yes or no. We all find ourselves sometimes in places that we have to ask God, help me out of here, because this is not where I want to be.
Amen.
Of course, the wrong crowd will always be at the wrong place at the worst time. I can remember myself being at some places where, I look back and I think, God was very good to me. Even though I was not doing necessarily what was wrong, there were others around me that were doing things that were totally illegal. What could have happened? Well, the police could have showed up. And guilty by association, right? That's exactly what takes place. Say, well, I wasn't doing anything wrong. Well, you were there, and they were doing things that were wrong, so therefore, sometimes that party you go to, you think, well, they tell you, oh, we're going to have a good time. Oh, you'll be all right. And maybe you have enough willpower to say, oh, I'm not going to drink, or I'm not going to smoke, or I'm not going to do drugs, I'm not going to do this, that, and the other. I just want to go and have a good time. That was me. I wanted to have a good time. But you know, it doesn't take a whole lot before you are in serious trouble.
Amen. Very good.
As I said, God was very, very good to me.
Amen.
As I look back now, there were many, many times, many places where lots of bad things could have happened. Could have put more scars on my life than I have already.
Amen.
As a Christian, we have others that journey with us along the way, right? Although this is an individual salvation, right? We all have our individual vessels that we travel in life's journey. God places others along the way to give us encouragement. As we traveled on our canoe trip, our kayaking trip, you know, there were many others that were on the stream at the same time we was, and they were having fun, and we were having fun too. And sometimes our life's journey, right? God places ones, individuals there on our journey of life to give us encouragement.
Amen.
Life is not easy. We all know that. It's not a bed of roses. There's many things we face, many dangers and situations of life that we face, and we're all going to face them. It doesn't matter who you are. We're going to face things. It's how we deal with those, right? But God places individuals along the way to give us encouragement. What do they yell out to us as we're on our journey together? Right? They yell, keep paddling, brother. Right? Keep paddling, sister. In other words, keep moving, keep encouraged. You can do it, you can make it. Don't retire now. This is in my notes here. I didn't write the whole thing down, but There is no place for retirement for a Christian. We may retire from our physical job, all right, but as a Christian, we never retire.
Amen. Very good.
Always are working for God. What's some of the other things they say? Keeping the race. Sometimes they may yell a warning to us, right? Hey, be careful. Be careful. Right up ahead, there's this, that, and the other. God places those people specifically to give us encouragement, to give us warnings. Let me yell, look out for the pitfall ahead. Be careful. Don't turn to the side now. Keep your eyes on the prize. Journey of life. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now don't laugh when I say this next thing, but as a Christian, we have something with us that's very unique. And I called it the Holy GPS. As I was writing my notes, I decided to put that in there. The Holy GPS. Now, what's a GPS, you know, right? It's a global positioning system that helps you determine exactly where you're at and helps you to get from point A to point B. There's all kinds of things you have in your car. Well, on a literal boat or a vessel, a lot of times they'll have those to tell them, okay, I need to navigate. And maybe it's in the bayou somewhere where there's all kinds of channels and you have to go a certain path, otherwise you run aground. And so that GPS or that system will tell you exactly where you need to go. It'll tell you you need to turn here, you need to turn there. But you know, as a Christian, God gives us the Holy Spirit, right? That's what I call the Holy GPS, right? Because as the captain is of our vessel, right? We have a captain of our vessel. He gives us the signals and says, you need to turn here. You need to stop, or you need to go, or you need to, exactly where we need to go. He tells us exactly what we need to do as a Christian. It's not left to just our imagination, right? It's life. And I'm so glad of that. Because every last one of us would make a mess of ourselves. Matter of fact, we were all a mess before he found us.
Amen.
Now we can choose to ignore the signal, right? Got that little device there in our vessel that says, this is what you need to do. Right? This is what you need to do. We can choose to ignore the signal and go on our own way. But if we follow the holy signals as the captain gives them, we will make it safely through all the dangers that we face. As I said before, life is not always easy. Sometimes I have thought of it this way. As we go through life, it's like going through a minefield. What's a minefield? Well, a minefield is where the enemy comes in, sows all these explosive devices everywhere, and anybody that walks through there, if they're not careful, will blow themselves up. Life sometimes is like that, and without the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God directing us, what happens? Oh, I think I know where I'm going. Boom! And you blow yourself up.
Amen.
We have to be very, very careful. It's life and death. All right? This Christian life is life and death.
Amen.
Sometimes the way is mighty narrow and precise. Right, the broad way that leads to destruction.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes this Christian life, gets very, very narrow. Sometimes we have to walk heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, right? You know, there are sad things sometimes we see along the way as we travel this journey of life. What do we see sometimes? We see wrecked vessels. Tragedy on every hand many times. We see other people that have tragically ended up destroying their vessel. But some of the saddest is the ones that used to be on the journey with us. As I wrote this, many people come to my mind. And I thought, you know, here we are traveling. We're all going forward, right? We're going upstream. There's many people that's traveling with us, going for the same goal, the same prize. And what happens? All of a sudden, you see this person start to drift around, go off, this way, off that way. Sometimes they just stop and turn around and go back downstream.
Amen.
They continue to paddle, but where are they going? Right? These people are still paddling. They're still paddling their vessel. But they're not going the same direction we're going. Very, very sad. There is a way that seemeth right, right? But the path leadeth to destruction. As a fellow traveler, sometimes we yell out to them, "Where are you going? This is the way we're going. Where are you going?" But many times their reply is lost to the wind. They may say something, but it's kind of, "What? What are you saying?" Very sad. Many have lost their way and stopped obeying the signals from the Holy Ghost. Each of us have the roadmap, right? We have the good captain in our vessel as a Christian. And as I said, we all have the Holy Ghost that gives us the guidance to make it through life. So what happens when one turns aside? It's obvious they have stopped following the signal from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They have blindly turned aside into a side channel sometimes. Some thinking that it was a shortcut or a better way. "Oh, we found a better path. It's over here." Many individuals and churches have gradually drifted into error,
right,
only to find themselves far removed from the Word of God. And we know that to be true. And I've got in my notes here, "God help us all to follow the instructions of our captain in Him alone."
Amen.
It's an individual salvation. But you know, if we all follow the captain and the signals of the Holy Ghost, all right, we're all going to make it to the same place.
Amen.
But if we don't, what happens? They've turned to the side. They've drifted off over here. They've become entangled in a snare. This person has just went under a log jam. Now what do I see? Well, I see somebody paddling with all their might. Just paddling left and right, just doing everything he can. I'm just doing all the work I can possible. But they don't seem to be making any headway. Matter of fact, they're slowly slipping downstream.
Amen.
Doing lots of work, but they're slowly drifting downstream. Many of the religious person is doing all the works. Working hard. You know, you talk to people, and they will tell you, I do this, I do that. We support this mission, and we do this good thing, and I do this, and I do that. I do all these works. Sometimes they work really hard. It's obvious that they work really hard. But they lack the true Spirit of God to give the vessel the oomph to move against the current. Right? We see them and they're working hard. They're working overtime paddling that canoe, paddling their vessel. But we see them slowly slipping backwards. Others try tying their vessels together. We observe this on our little trip. A bunch of people, you know, all tied their canoes together and just drifted downstream together in one big unison. And I thought, you know, life presents that as well. People think, oh, there's strength in numbers. We're all going to go together. Like, well, where are they going? The danger of becoming attached to others headed downstream is the problem of escape or untying oneself. Because what happens? As you're going downstream, the stream is not always straight. The stream curves. The stream has pitfalls. It has snags. It has log jams. And when you're all tied together, what happens? When one goes down, they all go down.
Amen. Very good.
When you're attached to others, you move with them. So, like I said, if one goes over the edge of the waterfall, you all go together. How sad to see many following the masses right into hell. Off the precipice, right into hell. And we can see that. One thing that was apparent to me and the boys as we were on our trip is you must keep paddling. 5.5 hours, you got 15 miles. You must keep paddling. Why? Well, one of the things that happens when you stop paddling is the vessel sometimes can get turned sideways. Or if you just stop, what happens? You begin drifting with the current.
Amen.
Drifting requires no effort. All you got to do is stop paddling. You know, and as a Christian, put this in spiritual terms, as a Christian, we're on our journey of life. All you have to do is just stop trying.
Absolutely.
That's all you got to do. And what happens? Your forward progress is stopped, and you start to go backwards. And when you go backwards, you have no control of where you're going.
Right.
Sometimes a storm comes up, and as they say, all hands on deck in the old days of the sailing boats, right? Sometimes it's a monster storm.
Right.
And you know, as I said before, it's a common salvation, and we face many things in life. And sometimes we face storms. Matter of fact, every last one of us is going to experience some type of storm. The spiritual antenna that you have must be finely tuned if you're going to make it through that storm. And I thought about the signals from that holy GPS, right? The Holy Ghost. When we're in a storm, we have to pay very close attention to exactly what God wants us to do.
Amen. Very good.
Why? Well, we've all seen monster storms where it's just torrential rain and just total mayhem. A lot of times you can't see right or left or front or back. You know, like that pilot that's up there flying in the clouds right now. He has his instruments to rely on. If he didn't have his instruments, he's in trouble. And he has to trust his instruments. But as a Christian, we have to trust the Holy Ghost. We have to trust the Holy Spirit of God to lead us through the storms of life.
That's right.
And he's not going to let us down. He knows what's best for us. God has promised that he will be with us in the storm. He will be with us. He will not forsake us. But we must stay with him. We must stay with him. It's not time to jump ship. Some people do that. They get into a storm. And what do you see? Over the edge. We must stay with him. It's not time to jump ship. It's not time to change ships. At times, the storm is overwhelming. We all face this. Sometimes when the storm is overwhelming, it's time we take shelter in the rock, Christ Jesus. In the calm of his mighty hand, we can be safe. The howling winds may blow, right? And the waves may be high. But you know, Christ, right, is my fortress, my shield, my buckler. He's the rock we can run to. Now you think about it, your vessel of life as you're going and this storm comes up. We get up real close to that rock. What happens? Everything just blows right around us. It's like he's got an envelope right there holding us and keeping us safe. That's what Christ does.
Amen.
And believe me, sometimes the storms are going to be overwhelming. More than what we can handle. That's when Christ puts his protecting hand out.
Right.
Helps us. Now, it would not be fair if I didn't say the following. We can capsize. Our vessel can capsize. We can jump in the water. There are times when we think we are going the way we need to go, and suddenly we hit a rock. And over the side we go. We get thrown into the current. As a Christian, we can experience times like this when our flesh becomes strong, right? And we find ourselves in the water of life floundering. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced being close to drowning, literally. It's happened twice to me. And every time I think about this, it's amazing because every time I think about it, the heart starts beating again because I can remember just how close I was. Happened twice. And both times, I had a cousin that, I mean, I was floundering. I was doing everything I could to try to get up to the top of the water, and I couldn't get up there. And my cousin came along just in time and pick me up.
Amen.
And of course, after, it's like, whew, I'm so glad you were there at that time. Because I'd have been sucking water. That close. Twice. But you know, when we are out of our vessel into the water, and we're floundering, what happens? We start struggling. And sometimes as a Christian, sometimes we make mistakes. And we realize, like I said, our flesh gets strong and we start to do things in ourselves. And what happens? We find out that we're in trouble. But just like Peter in Matthew, the 14th chapter, all right, Jesus came walking on the water, right? And Peter seen him out there. Peter starts out of the boat, starts walking on the water to Christ. Well, what happened to Peter? Well, he started to see and take in the things around him, and his eyes were turned off of Christ.
Amen.
And what happened? He started to go down. But what's the Bible say in verse 30? What did Peter do? And this is something that we all must do. It says, he cried, "Lord, save me!" And I like verse 31, and it says, and immediately,
immediately,
no hesitation on Christ's part, immediately,
amen.
Says, immediately the hand of the Lord caught him.
Very good.
And I thought, you know, if you're here tonight and you're floundering, right? You've made a mistake. You've had problems. And you're floundering in the water. What do we do? You do just like anybody would do if they're literally drowning. You're crying, "Help!" Right? Help me. Help me, Lord. And you know, God's not up there just laughing and saying, "I'm going to watch you drown." No. One of the characteristics of Christ is compassion. And immediately, he will reach out his hand and save us. But you got to ask for help. If you find yourself in the water, just don't give up and sink in despair. Don't just give up and say, I'm just done. I can't do it anymore. I'm just done. Don't do that. Cry unto the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive us and rescue us from all our distresses. All our distresses. That's A-L-L, all. Praise the Lord. In those distressing times, when we are tossed to and fro, not sure which way to go, cry unto the Lord, and He will make the signal clear. He will give us the help that we stand in need of. He will be there to say, this is what you need to do. But we have to ask. We have to cry unto the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight, and you would like to be going the right way, but you just don't know how to get yourself turned around and headed upstream. It's like, I just don't know which way to go. I don't know how to get my vessel going upstream. Very simple. What do? We call out to Jesus and ask Him to forgive us and tell Him you want Him to be your captain. You want Him to be in charge of your vessel. You want Him to be in charge of your life. You know, God is a personal God.
Amen.
The great God of heaven,
amen,
is a personal God. You know, many times I've said this in the Sunday school class many times, that sometimes it's difficult to really grasp just how big God really is. Because our minds, our human minds, we just can't take it all in, because God is bigger than anything we can imagine. Of course, we know that God is not some gray-haired man on top of a mountain giving out instructions of wisdom. God is a spirit, right? And all them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, God is a spirit. He's everywhere at all times. The spiritual realm, right? Brother Kenny, he was at the beginning, and he's at the end. Time is no factor. Why? He's a spirit. The spiritual realm, you know, we have a hard time grasping that because we still have literal eyes. God is a personal God. And the fact that he wants to live with us, abode with us, he wants to be our captain, wants to be our guide. Personal God. He wants to come and live with each one of us personally. What happens when we ask God to forgive us and to be our captain? He gives us a new heart. He doesn't just patch it up and repair it and remodel it. No, he gives us a new heart. A brand new heart. And what happens? He immediately turns our vessel around. Say, well, how does that happen? I don't know, but he immediately turns our vessel around.
Amen. Very good.
I lost my note, lost my place here. Hold on. Immediately turns our vessel around, but that's not all. What's he do next? He gives us the Holy Spirit, right? That holy GPS to guide us on our journey. In other words, turns our boat around, turns our vessel around and says, all right, upstream, you need to go up, because up is where heaven's at. That's where the prize is at. But he doesn't just do that and say, oh, you're on your merry way. No, he gives us the guide, the instructions to get there. If you're here tonight floundering in the water of life, don't just give up. Why? Well, at the end of the stream of life, at the end of it, downstream is destruction. If you continue in your sins and stubbornness, right, destruction will be your end. To the Christian, the end of life's journey is heaven and eternal joy. A Christian always has the goal of heaven in view. Right?
Amen.
Sometimes I think people fail to realize the goal. The goal is heaven.
Amen.
One of these days, we'll reach the heavenly shore. And our holy GPS, what's it going to say? You have arrived! I think about Brother Henry, and I think, you know, I was thinking about all this as I wrote this down, and I thought, you know, like the literal GPS in your car, when you get there, it says, you have arrived. You have arrived at your destination. And as a Christian, right, we come to the end of our life, the end of our journey. And the Spirit of God says, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Right? You have arrived at the heavenly gates. Everything through life that we've faced, we've battled and fought, journeyed, it will all be worth it. It will all be worth it when he says, enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into heavenly bliss. Now, the enemy's job is to take as many to hell as possible. You know, those masses that are going downstream, just drifting. As I said before, their captain tells them, everything's fine. Just go to sleep. You're fine. You'll be, everything's good. As they slowly drift to destruction. Our job here tonight is to let you know you don't have to be destroyed. Right. You don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to be sucked under the water to end it all. Never to appear again. And I thought about the person that went overboard, right? And how that just about every ship, if they know somebody goes overboard, what do? They stop immediately. They start with the searchlights out. If they see something in the water, they throw a life ring. They throw a lifeline, trying to rescue that person. And I think about tonight, you know, if you're floundering in the water tonight, don't know what to do. Christ is throwing out the lifeline. And he's saying, just take the lifeline. Take my hand.
Amen.
But many times people, in their stubbornness, like I said, will say, they will refuse. So what's the end of that? It's destruction. We all have a choice. We can choose life or we can choose death. If you find yourself drifting, come to God.
That's right.
Ask for help. You know, sometimes people have a hard time asking for help. People have a hard time asking for directions. But on this journey of life, it's not, okay, I got the wrong address and I don't know which exit to get off. No. It's life or death. So if it's life or death, don't you think that's a serious thing? And God is saying, choose life. Choose life. He's offering the lifeline. We cannot do this journey by ourselves. It takes God in our vessel.
Amen.
Many people have tried. They've tried and tried to come up with some way to go down life's journey. But what happens? We see destruction. And as I said before, we observe many things on our life. I'm talking literally now, and spiritually as well. We see many things that happen. We are witnesses to a lot of things. Just as the disciples were a witness of the words of Christ. And so the commission was to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach those things that God, that Jesus had told them. And they did exactly that. They were a witness. And you'll read that many, many times in the New Testament, how they'll say, we are a witness. And many times as a Christian, we are a witness to many, many things. And sometimes it's tragic. Other times it's joy unspeakable, right? And full of glory. Especially when we see one receive salvation. That's a great thing. It's a great thing when one is saved. When one is rescued from going to destruction. As a Christian, we don't want to see anybody destroyed. Those that would glory in that are not a Christian. We want to see all people saved. All people come to salvation and receive the truth of the gospel. Question tonight, do you have God in your vessel? Or are you drifting? Are you drifting down life's journey? Maybe you don't realize that you have been drifting. Sometimes people get into that condition and they don't realize until that signal from God says, where are you going? You're going the wrong way. Sometimes people ignore this thing. I'm all right. And that signal will continue to be there until it gets fainter and fainter and finally it's gone. If you find yourself drifting tonight, very simple. Cry unto God and ask Him for help. And He's not going to turn you down. He will give you the help. He'll give you the direction. He'll turn your vessel back around and point you in the right direction and give you the Holy Spirit to enable you to journey on life's journey.